to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Joe.
Welcome to a special edition of Shoot the Defence, brought to you by the FNX Network, My Sportswear and the Offside Trust. I'm your host, Stel. And earlier, I caught up with Mike Kelleher, COO of Charleston Battery, and Andrew Bell, club president.
Guys, joining me now is Chief Operating Officer Mike Kelleher. Mike, welcome to the show, mate. Great to have you on.
Thanks, Stel. Much appreciated.
Great. Now, Mike, you're 7 months into the COO role. How are you finding it?
Enjoying it, really enjoying it. Great place to live, great place to work. Happy to come into work every day. It's been a great introduction to the Charleston Battery.
I can imagine. So tell me something, how does the Chief Operating Officer role at Battery differ from the one you had at Global Image?
Yeah, obviously I'm working with directly with a professional football club, which I hadn't done prior in my career. For Global Image Sports, we work with a variety of European clubs, but mostly at academy level, which was kind of my background in the game at the youth level. So this is the first time I've worked directly with a professional football club. But there are a lot of similarities. You're doing budgeting, you're running a staff, you're doing your reports to the ownership. So there's a lot of skill sets that were picked up at Global Image Sports that I can transfer to this role in terms of the same job title.
Tell me something, Mike. I mean, you come from a strong youth development background, so what is it about America that a lot of British coaches go at them? I know about five or six. One of them is working at the Liverpool International Academy. You've got David Barsley that's moved out there, John Curtis. What is it about the States specifically? I know there are more opportunities. But what is it about it that sells it to the British coaches?
I think the lifestyle still. I think the first thing that got me into the US was coming out. I'd graduated from university before I worked for the Premier League, and I did two summers coaching out here.
Right.
And it's a great lifestyle, great place to live. The sun's on your back, which we don't always have in England.
Yeah.
The way the game is here now, there's a lot of opportunity. I do know of quite a few former pros that are out here. There is things that are quite different, and there'll always be when you go. We all think we speak the same language, but we don't.
Right.
There's things that are different, but it's a great place to be. There is a lot of opportunity, and like I said, the weather always helps.
Absolutely. So when you took over as COO, what were your short and long term targets when you initially took charge, and have they changed?
I think back to it when I was appointed, it was to give Andrew, I think, a little bit more. I think Andrew, as you've just spoken to Andrew, been here close to 20 years and was really doing everything. And I think it's allowed Andrew now to focus more on the broadcast of our games, which is a huge change this year. A huge lot of investment's gone in, not just by the Charleston Battery, but the whole league. And Andrew, as he said, started here doing play-by-play announcement, the commentary. It's allowed him to do that and focus on that on game day. So my role on game day is making sure that everything is running smoothly off the field, that we've no issues in terms of fans, in terms of what we're offering, in terms of the entertainment value. So I'm on the game day, that's my role, making sure everything runs from start to finish. So it was really adding some infrastructure here, adding some guidance, adding some leadership to the different levels of the club's front office. I think longer term, that was kind of getting that piece going early on. Longer term, I think our aim is to increase our fan base. I think, as Andrew mentioned earlier, to sell out every week and to make Charleston Battery relevant to Charleston, or more relevant to Charleston and the community that's here.
That's understandable. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of clubs that focus more on the community than they would elsewhere, so to speak. I mean, look, as someone that's done a lot of voluntary work, such as yourself, how important is it that the club has a presence in the community then?
Vitally important. I think that'll be the continued existence of Charleston Battery. We must. It's like, you mentioned earlier, clubs at League One, League Two, you have to have a community involvement, mm-hmm. whether that be in terms of coaching, whether that be in terms of player appearances, but you have to be relevant. You have to show that you're part of the local community. You're part of the infrastructure here, and make people want to support you, want to be part of you. It's something that you have to do.
Mike, when you see a club like Leyton Orient, which I'm sure is close to your heart, when you see the struggles that they're going through and you see a club the size of Charleston Battery, I mean, it puts a lot of things into perspective, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know a couple of people that go there on a regular basis, and it's heartbreaking what's going on. It was, you know, I grew up being a West Ham fan, but obviously at that time, you would go to Orient. I mean, I remember going to Orient, you know, half a dozen times a year when West Ham was away. It's heartbreaking what's gone on there, and hopefully it sorts itself out in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. So, having come from a development background, a youth development background, how confident are you that the club can produce quality youngsters and possibly continue to do so in the long term?
Well, it's a different market. You know, I use the word market, but it's a different system over here. Mm-hmm. There isn't the youth development that we have in Europe, that we have in England, where clubs produce their own players from an early age, from that, you know, 8, 9 years old, and hopefully through to be a professional footballer. We have a very successful college system in the US, mm-hmm. which you know, play. I think 95% of the players, young players that are playing, aspire to be a college player. It has changed in the last few years with MLS becoming more relevant and investing in youth. And us being the next tier down. In fact, that's one of the projects I'm working on right now. Is where do we fit in on that? How does it work? And it's all very well. You know, again, I'm not sure still how much you're aware of youth football in America, but it's very much a pay to play model, and that has developed over the course of time. Now the MLS are trying to change that and to show that we, you know, if you're good enough, we're going to take you regardless. You know, and we're not going to ask you to pay for it. But for us, if we're to offer a free based on ability alone academy, and we can't keep the player to play at Charleston Battery because he would rather go and get a scholarship at Clemson University and a degree and who knows a career that pays him 4 or 5 times what we could pay him, if not more, that then it's very difficult to justify having an all fee paying academy, if you follow me. So it's a bit of a conundrum right now. We do need to do something at the youth level. Because I imagine there's not very many football clubs around the world that don't do something at a youth level, whatever that may be. So that's kind of where one of them, you talked about longer term projects, that's one of them right now.
You've got the PDL partnership as well at the moment, don't you? So is that bearing fruit?
Yeah, well, we have 3 announced partnerships right now with PDL clubs, and that was really, I think it's been sort of a bit of an ad hoc partnership in the past. Mm-hmm. So we said, look, let's make that official. Let's see where it goes. It's not, you know, we don't own them, they don't own us, but it's more like, is there an opportunity for us to put our name to them, to attract better players to them, and then for us hopefully to attract better players to us via that route. So I think that'll be a longer term thing, that the PDL clubs are just about to start play now. We go down to Savannah in Georgia next week to play Tormenta, who's one of our partners. I think that'd be quite an interesting first step with them. And see where it goes. And of course, we're always looking for good players if any are there.
Mm, so it's like your own version of Hackney Marsh, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, very true, very true.
Speaking of affiliates, you got one with Atlanta. How's that going?
Very good. Yeah, excellent. And Andrew was instrumental in that. We're in the second year of that partnership, and I'm sure that you've seen the success Atlanta are having right now with 55,000 people watching their home games. Mm. We have a couple of their players that we've got on season-long deals who are with us, and we have a couple of players from time to time who will come here for the weekend to play in our team. So in terms of player opportunity, you know, we're giving games where Atlanta, you know, might not necessarily be able to do that, and there's nothing worse as being a professional footballer and not being able to play. So it works for us and hopefully works for them too right now.
One more thing about Battery. You're top of the group on goal difference, albeit with a game in hand. Are you happy with the start of the season?
Absolutely, yeah. Who wouldn't be being top of the league? It's obviously very early days, but couldn't have asked for a better start to the season. We've got 2 home games coming up and hopefully can add some more points to that. But no, long may it continue, and I think there's a lot of interest in the town and a lot of interest locally as to how well we're doing.
Fantastic. And on a final note, mate, you mentioned you're a West Ham fan. Next season, what's going to happen? Because Slaven Bilic is under fire at the moment. Apparently, they say that he's got 2 games to save his job. Liverpool's one of them. I don't know who the other is, but you see him being there next season?
I think we play a team from North London tomorrow night.
Spurs, I forgot. Yeah, sorry.
we won't mention them, but we and they've had a very good season, by the way, mm-hmm. a good couple of seasons. But I think he's had two games to save his job almost all season. So I'm not sure how true that is. But look, I think it's been a very on the back of the success of last year, and then moving stadiums, and you look at. You know, I think 90%, if not more, of football clubs that have moved stadiums in the last 10, 20 years have always struggled wherever they've gone. I think it's time for a little bit of stability. And for my own personal opinion, I think he deserves a third year and see where we're at next year. Hopefully the players that are brought in over the summer, hopefully not as many as last summer, and hopefully a little bit more quality and hopefully he gets some say in that. But that's my own personal opinion. But I'd like to give him another year.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, thank you ever so much for coming on the show, mate. Really appreciate it. I hope you and Andrew can come back on again. We do Premier League reviews every week, so you're more than welcome to join us.
Sounds great. Appreciate your time, Stel.
Cheers, thank Mike. You. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. All the best. So my next guest is club president Andrew Bell. Andrew, thank you ever so much for coming on the show. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to join you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time, sir. Now, Andrew, as far as I'm aware, mate, Reading is twinned with towns in Germany, Ireland, Barbados and Nicaragua. So with the greatest respect to those towns, South Carolina is far more of an attractive proposition. How did your career path get you there?
Yes, so I came over to the United States as a student. I was studying archaeology at the University of Bradford and fell in love with the United States. Ended up moving here and was fortunate enough to get a job with the Charleston Battery in the early years of the club. And we just built the stadium, or the new ownership had just built a new stadium, and they hired me to do the radio play-by-play, and that was my entry into the sport.
Brilliant, fantastic. So did you have to get used to the different terminology out there? Because I know that they use certain terms that we're not used to out in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, I mean, I still have an English accent, but my vocabulary is American as well. So, at the time, the ownership of the Charleston Battery was English. And so, you know, we had this whole kind of English thing here. The sport was in a different place back in those days, 1998, 1999. But, yeah, for sure, you know, I think I would consider myself soccer bilingual.
Fantastic. Brilliant. You've been club president for the best part of 10 years. So has the role changed since you took over?
It has, and the club and the business has changed quite significantly as well. I think the club's vision has changed a little bit. We're much more than just a soccer team now. I mean, our primary business is football, is soccer, but we're a sports and entertainment company, so we're doing a lot of other things here at the facility. And then from a soccer standpoint, the sport's grown significantly in the last decade. And we've kind of grown along with it. There's a new emphasis on development in terms of the young players, and you'll see that reflected in our partnership or our partnerships that we've had over the last few years with Major League Soccer. But I think through it all, there's a kind of a common thread of the Charleston Battery really being a significant club in the sport in the United States. And, you know, with every passing year, our legacy grows, you know, as one of the longer tenured clubs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I understand there was a takeover some time ago of the club. Has there been a big impact on that?
Yeah, very good point. So we were very fortunate. We had a single ownership group from 1992 up until 2016, and he sold the club to a new group, which happened last year in February. And we have seen some big changes. We've been fortunate. The new owner is very invested in the sport and in the business, and he's made significant investments in the club, which has been fantastic. So, you know, just from an infrastructure standpoint, we've got a 3,000 square foot video board now. We've upgraded significantly with our IT infrastructure, and we've also been able to invest in the front office. So we're really doing a lot of the things that we would have loved to have done, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, but the funds really weren't there at the time. So it's been an important change for the Charleston Battery, and you know, the results are going to follow on and off the pitch.
I can completely understand that. Now, how's the fan base grown since you've been there? Because I understand, obviously, with the takeover, you're going to get more opportunities and a bigger awareness created for the club. Are you seeing bigger attendances these days than before?
Yeah, I think we are. And, you know, if I look back at the club, particularly in the early years, we were playing in what you would call a college or a school facility. So we were the first team in the United States to privately fund and build a football soccer specific stadium, and we've had a common thread of fans that have been with us since the start. So we've got folks that have been season ticket holders for a quarter of a century now, but we've also seen a real growth in the younger audience that we've managed to bring in. And you know, the demographic of our fan base has changed a little bit. The technology that we're using to market the sport now is much different than it was in the early years. And I think we are definitely seeing an uptick in the general level of interest. Not just in Charleston. I think because of the history of the club, we have fans and we have people that follow us across the globe. We've got players from all over the world. We've always had a strong relationship with the Caribbean. And you know, wherever I go, I'm running into people that have heard about us and that have taken an interest in the team.
Do you know what? To be honest, I find it intriguing how Charleston Battery's actually got more followers on Twitter and more Facebook likes than most League One and Championship sides in the UK. It's fantastic how the club has grown.
We got a great social media person here at Charleston Battery. Her name's Sarah.
Absolutely.
Is that true, though? I didn't know that.
Yeah, 18,000 followers on Twitter and about 19,000 likes on Facebook, which, you know, as you know, the English leagues, obviously, there's a lot of supporters.
You know, I was looking yesterday, because we were in Atlanta yesterday for a scrimmage with Atlanta United. I think those guys have got 500,000 Twitter followers,
Wow.
Which is remarkable. So, yeah, that's an interesting fact still.
Brilliant. Well, Battery are embarking on their 25th anniversary, which is a remarkable feat given how soccer in the US has evolved. Where do you see the club in 10 years' time, Andrew?
Well, I think we're going to be increasingly relevant. I think you're going to see us with a much larger fan base. Potentially, we may have some infrastructure changes which will allow us to get more people into the stadium. I think we're going to have a much, much more increased presence nationally because of the way the broadcast is going with USL.
Yep.
And I just feel that, you know, I mean, 10 years, it feels like a long time, but it's really not. I think, and I would hope, you know, if we're looking back on this conversation in another quarter of a century, we'll laugh at what we were talking about, because soccer in the United States is growing so quickly. The demographics are all totally in our favour. In our favour, I mean the sport's favour. And I think that everyone is going to enjoy the upswing that brings.
Fantastic. And on a final note, Andrew, I believe you're from Reading. Do you follow the Royals?
I do, actually. Yes, of course. I used to go and watch it with my dad when I was 4 and 5 years old. So I'm a lifelong fan and supporter.
Elm Park, right? Yeah, do you think they'll get promoted? I mean, Yapstam's had a fantastic first season in charge.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I remember when we got to the Premier League the first time, we celebrated because I think it was the first time we'd made it that far in the league system in 115 years or something like that. You know, but we just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope they can get it done in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, thank you ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you very much.